Welcome to another life-changing teaching by Jerry Dierman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. For more information about Pastor Jerry's teaching and ministry, please visit jerrydierman.com.
You tried to lure me right into this message, and I was too good. See that? Hold up your Bibles. I almost missed it, didn't I? All right, we're going to say this in faith. By the way, for all the newcomers, we do this not out of tradition, but we do this to prepare our hearts to understand that this is not just a typical book, that this is God's Word, and the Bible says that His words are alive, and therefore, as we receive the Word today, He's going to speak to each of us individually, customize this message to what's going on in our life. How many of you believe that? All right, here we go. Let's say this in faith together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. I've got one for you today. Galatians chapter 6. If you would turn there, please. Galatians 6. We're going to continue the study called Planting a More Fruitful Life. And we're going to read this foundational text out loud. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. I'm reading from the New King James. If you don't have that particular translation with you, that's okay. There are a number of good ones. But for the sake of reading aloud and reading the same words, would you follow along on the screens with us? Galatians chapter 6, reading loudly and together, verses 7 through 9. Let's read. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, we talked about various things already in this study. If you missed some of these, you can pick them up on CD and catch up, because each element that we're talking about is so powerful in and of itself. Now, the Bible basically says here, and what we're basically studying is, that God is convinced that you reap what you sow. God is convinced that what's going on in your life now is more of a product of what you have sown or not. How many of you know not sowing is sowing? Is that right? How many of you know not going to work will reap a harvest that you don't like? You say, well, I didn't do anything. Yeah, but that was the problem. And you sowed to laziness. And when you sow to laziness, you don't reap what you want to reap. See? So God is trying to convince us and show us that what we sow or don't sow is what comes to pass in our lives. And so we shouldn't blame what's happening in our lives on the system, the government, our parents, our spouse, other people, my background, the limitations that I have. No, we should come to grips with this and say, you know what, regardless of the obstacles and the challenges that I face, regardless of my history and all that's been dealt to me in my life, I can take what Jesus has done for me on the cross and the promises of God and begin to overcome those challenges and not allow them to limit me any longer. I can go to another level in my life because of what Jesus has done. And so, God, it says here, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In other words, if you try to say that what's going on in your life is not your fault, and it's not because of you sowing or not sowing, then you're trying to mock God and tell Him He doesn't know what He's talking about. And here God is saying, don't be deceived. No, you can change your life with decisions. You can change that. But you won't change it until you first take responsibility for what's going on now and say, you know what? It's my fault. Yeah, I may have been dealt a bad hand from my past. Sure, those things do influence us. Things do condition us, no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean that we are controlled by those things. We have the ability to break free from all that has hindered us in the past and to come to an awesome, loving God and receive help regarding those things. Is that right? Is that right? How many of you know it doesn't matter how poor you were raised, God can bless you now? Is that right? It doesn't matter how much bondage and addiction is in your past, God can deliver you now. But it doesn't just automatically happen. See, and we got to get rid of that old doctrine that's still prevalent in the church that says, if it's God's will, it'll happen. That's a lie. But if you believe it, it'll become true for you. But it's not true. No. God has made promises to us, and if we will accept these promises and do what God says to do to receive them, they'll come to pass in our lives. But if we just kind of let them there, be there and float along, thinking that if God wanted it to happen, He would make it happen, then it won't happen. And then you'll blame it on God and say, well, you know, it must not have been God's will. But that was a lie. You have to seize the opportunity. You have to understand the will of God and pursue His will to receive His blessings. That's the way the system works. So, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Today I want to talk to you about the right seed, to understand what the right seed is. And I want to talk to you about it in various categories. First of all, we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. And I want to talk to you about planting and sowing the right seed into your own life, into your spirit, into your soul, and into your body. And then I may even talk about finances if we have time. So let me read to you, first of all, 1 Peter chapter 1, the 23rd verse. 1 Peter 1, 23. And Peter says this, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Let me read it again. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Listen to what Peter said. Now Peter's talking about your spirit. You're made up of spirit, soul, and body. And Peter's talking about your spirit. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, if you are saved, born again, we have all these different terms that all mean the same thing. If you are in the family of God, if you are a child of God, if the Lord Jesus reigns in your heart, all those things mean the same thing. It means that you have at some point heard that Jesus died for you on the cross, that He was raised again from the dead, and you actively, intentionally received by the confession of your mouth Jesus as the Lord of your life. And when you did that, He came in and forgave your sin and took your spirit that was disconnected from God and connected it to the life of God, and you were what the Bible calls reborn spiritually in your spirit. Your spirit was born into the family of God. And so Peter says here, this is how it happened. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God. That's the incorruptible seed. This Bible is the Word of God, and it, the whole thing is incorruptible seed. Now, let me talk about that for just a minute. Incorruptible means it doesn't decay, it doesn't rust, it doesn't wear out, it doesn't slow down, it doesn't age. There is no shelf life. In other words, God's words are different than man's words. God, when He speaks something, it has that power within itself to cause it to come to pass. But even if it's a million years later, it has just as much power to bring itself to pass as it did the day that it came off the lips of God. There's no shelf life to the Word of God. And so, think about this. If words from this Bible were spoken to you, they came into your ears, and they caused you to believe that there was a real God who sent His Son, and His Son died on the cross for you, and you believe that, and then made a confession and a declaration that Jesus is my Lord, and listen, and based on the power of those words that came into your heart, millions and billions of years of your life in the future were altered so that you no longer will be in hell in a place of torment with no second chance to get out. But now you'll be in a place with God for eternity just by the power of a few words that were spoken into your ears, into your heart, that you acted on. Bam! Change your whole eternity. Now let me tell you, there are no other words in the world that can change your eternity like that. It's only these incorruptible, non-decaying, non-aging words of God. Because He's the only one that had the authority to give you that salvation. Is that right? See? So let me tell you, the Bible tells us that this particular book, above all other writings, above all the other speeches and words, the words in this book, because they came out of the heart of God, off of His lips, contain within themselves the power to cause themselves to come to pass. That's why this is better than any self-help seminar that you go to. Anything that it's all good, it seems true, and it's going to help you and such. But if God didn't say it, then all you have is man's wisdom, and it'll help you to a point, but it won't release the power of God to help you beyond human ability. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, this is powerful. We have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Forever. Now, Jesus was teaching on the parable of the sower in Luke 8, also in Mark 4 and Matthew 13. But in Luke 8, the verse 11, He says this, "The seed is the Word of God." He just makes that statement so plain. The seed is the Word of God. So when we're talking about sowing to the Spirit, when we're talking about changing your life dramatically, the Bible tells us, here's the right seed right here. The seed is the Word of God. If you want to change something about your life, this is where you start. I mean, take these powerful seeds. I mean, these are like, they're explosive. They're dynamite. I mean, that these things are like high-level batteries. And when you take these seeds and put them into, you snap them in to your life in certain places, it gives the energy to those certain places of your life to come up to par. Just like any toy that you'd buy at Christmas time with no batteries, it's a toy, but you know, if you don't push it, it won't go. But you snap that lithium battery in there, and all of a sudden, we bought one of those good remote control trucks, monster truck things for Jonathan. And I'm telling you, you slap that battery and that thing is powerful. That little thing takes off, runs over bushes, and I mean, we messed up some things that day. It was a lot of fun, but we messed up some things that day. That thing's powerful. But without the battery, it doesn't have it. See, let me tell you, these words are what brings the life and the energy in the Spirit to bring the power of God to back you. That's why believers can do far more than unbelievers if they would ever tap in to the power of the Word of God. Amen. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word." When somebody preaches the Word to you, and declares what God says, and it goes into your ears, it causes in your heart a reaction of faith. And that faith is what gives you the motivation to reach out in your spirit and to receive from God what He promised you. Like that lady that had the flow of blood. And she came, and the Bible says she heard about Jesus. And so when she heard about Him, she believed in her heart that He had the power to heal her. And she came, He didn't even know she was coming. She came and she got a hold of His garment because she had said within herself, "If I can just touch His clothes, I'll be healed." And she touched the hem, just the bottom of the clothes. And when she touched in faith, power came out from Jesus. Well, why did that happen? You got to trace it all the way back. Somebody told her about Jesus. Somebody preached to her the word about Jesus, and it brought faith in her heart and caused her to act in faith and receive the power of God that was in those words, that Jesus really did have the ability to heal. I remember when we were youth pastoring that some kids came to our youth group, and they were from a dysfunctional family. How many of you know, really, every family is dysfunctional to some point? Is that true? Mine was, I tell you what. Every family was dysfunctional at some point. This was a pretty severe dysfunctional family, fairly severe. The dad was in and out of prison, and for good reason. I'm telling you, this is one of the meanest guys that I have ever met in my life. This guy was in and out of prison. He hurt people. I mean, he did bad things. He was the kind of guy that he wouldn't have a job all the time. And so when the rent would come due, his wife would say, the rent's due. And he'd leave in the morning. He said, all right, I'll be back. He'd come back with a wad of cash in the afternoon. Nobody knew how or what. Nobody asked any questions. He didn't work. See? But then he drove a truck for a while. And he would keep in the big 18-wheeler, he'd keep in the cab of his truck a milk crate with Coke bottles in it. Because people would make him mad cutting him off on the highway. And so, you know, he'd flip him the bird and cuss him out and honk at him, try to get him to pull over. And if they did, then he'd whoop him and leave him on the side of the road. Well, but if they didn't pull over, that would make him mad too. Because he had to get this anger and this energy out. And so he'd take those Coke bottles and he'd pull up and he'd throw it on their hood until they got mad enough or wanted to get the insurance information exchanged, pull over, and then he'd whip and leave them on the side of the road. Well, a guy like that ought to be in prison. Isn't that right? Well, that's the kind of guy he was. Well, the mom, she was completely different than him. She was the tarot card reader of the community. All the neighbors would come over and she'd read tarot cards in the backyard. I mean, this family was in a mess. And I went to visit this family because the kids started coming to the church and the dad happened to be there and the mom, and I met them as well. Well, it was about 3 months later, and the father, he became a little desperate in his heart, and he asked his kids, hey, that guy that came over, that pastor that came over, said, is he real? Is he real? They said, yeah, he is. He loves God. He knows God. He's real. And so he called over at the church and he said he wanted to talk to me. I was trying to think, did I say anything to those kids? Hope I didn't correct him or anything. Well, he came into the office. I had to get a hold of myself and say, wait a minute. No way, you know, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Had three guys standing outside the door. No, I'm just kidding. Well, he came in, he sat there, and he began to tell me, you know, I'm going through some stuff. Things are bad. And you know what I did? I, in the simplest terms, told him about Jesus. That Jesus had come and died on the cross. I mean, I'm telling him about an abstract story from 2,000 years ago. And just in simple words, I preached the gospel to him. And he sat there, dropped his head, and prayed to receive Jesus as the Lord of his life that day. Now, you know, that's a wonderful story, but it's only wonderful based on what happened after that. Because how many of you know a lot of people say things? That man had a supernatural turnaround in his heart. I mean, he became one of the most gentle men that I've ever met in my life. So patient, so loving, so caring about people that had needs. In just a few years, my pastor made him one of the elders in the church because he was a man of the Word and a man of the Spirit and a man of compassion, and he had proven his character before the assembly. But let me tell you, the power was in those words that I spoke about Jesus that went into his heart, and for some weird reason, those words are so powerful that it caused this person who never paid any attention to God or anybody else to believe that he could be changed. And he was supernaturally forgiven, changed. And to this day, he serves God with all of his heart. And the mom does too. The whole family is born again, saved, pursuing the ministry of God all the time. So don't discount anybody. This word is so powerful. But you got to understand, you have to think in your head and in your heart that the seeds in here are more powerful than what anybody is going on, what's going on in anybody's life. It's more powerful than the arguments that people have. You say, well, that person, you know, they believe this. Go ahead and preach them the word anyway. And watch the power. If they get mad, that's because it's powerful. And the Holy Spirit's messing with them on the inside while you're preaching it. See, so it saves our spirit. Let me talk to you about the soul, which includes the mind and the will and the emotions. We know that in Romans 12:2, the Bible says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, be transformed. After you get saved and your spirit is connected with God, how many of you know that doesn't mean all the rest of your life lines up with God? Is that right? I mean, there's stuff that's still out of whack, but that doesn't mean you're not saved. Your spirit can be fully saved, but your mind and your actions, your behavior, your attitude can be totally out of whack still. Well, what needs to happen? You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, listen to James 1:21. James says this. He says, therefore, laying aside, what does laying aside mean? Getting rid of. Laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now listen to me. Your souls. That does not mean salvation. I know a lot of times we'll say, oh yeah, we're saving, so you know, we want to see souls saved, and we use that as salvation. But you receive your salvation when your spirit's saved. This does not say pneuma, spirit. The Greek word here is psuche, soul. And he said, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. It's able to transform your mind, renew your mind. It's able to change your thinking. See, if you don't change your thinking, you can't change much in your life. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Well, how do you change it? The words of God are so powerful that they will change the way you think. In fact, they'll change your emotions. They'll change the way you feel. When you're hearing the word, the good word of God, man, it makes you feel better. Because you, all of a sudden, you see things in a much more positive light. Because God is with you. See? And so notice what he says. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now this happened to me, I've told you about it many times, where I was bound in sin. I was bound with lust. Sexual addiction, see? And I was I would be what many people in the church would call a good kid. I wasn't a pervert. I wasn't out there trying to do wrong. But nevertheless, I got bound because of our culture and because of the things that I allowed in my heart. I got bound with sexual addiction and I wanted to be free. Well, the Bible says you have to lay that aside. And over a period of time, when I was a teenager, the Lord began to teach me how to do this. Well, I had ordered a subscription to Sports Illustrated. I only did that 1 year. You know, they came around selling magazines, and I thought, I had a job. And so I said, Sports Illustrated. I'm into football, and, you know, I played in high school and wrestling and all that. And I thought, yeah, okay, I'll take that. Well, how many of you know there's one particular edition that doesn't have so much to do with sports? Well, unless you're in a different kind of sport, right? And that comes. And so I justify. Here I am, I'm a Christian, but I justified it in my mind. I'm a teenager. And I'm thinking, well, you know, it's my magazine. I bought this. I ordered it. And, you know, the least I could do is look through it. Paid for it. Justified it. Well, let me tell you something. You're not going to be free from lust sowing that kind of seed into your heart and mind. See, this says lay aside that. So the Lord had to teach me to set all of that kind of thing aside. Not only those kinds of magazines, but billboards that are inappropriate, television that's inappropriate, radio that's inappropriate, stuff that feeds you on sensual things. I had to lay that stuff aside and receive with meekness the implanted word, which was able to save my soul. Now listen, receive with meekness the implanted word. Doesn't mean it goes in one ear and out the other. I mean, it gets implanted into my heart. So that meant I had to go over and over it until I caught it in my heart. But I have to be meek. Receive with meekness. Put that scripture back up there if you would. Receive with meekness. With meekness. See what it says? Receive with meekness. What does that mean? Stop arguing. Stop justifying. Stop making excuses. And just receive it. It's the Word of God speaking to you. Like I remember, there was a guy that, you know, a lot of people, but this one particular person, I mean, this guy had a gift for losing jobs. I mean, I would almost bet that he could lose more jobs than he got. I'm telling you, this guy could lose jobs fast. Fast. And I remember after he lost a few jobs, he lost another job, and he was talking to me about it. And I said, all right, what happened on this job? And so, you know what happened on this one? He said, the manager fired me because he was jealous of me. I thought, all right, I hadn't heard this one yet. All right, tell me about that. Well, it was at McDonald's. He felt like he had stepped up to that, you know. And so he was at McDonald's, and he'd been working there a couple of months. And he said, yeah, the manager hired this new guy. And I thought, you're a new guy. He goes, yeah, he hired this new guy. And I told him to run the French fry machine, but he didn't know what he was doing. I said, yeah, so what did you do? Well, I went over and I was showing him how to do it. Okay, what happened? Well, the manager came in and said, leave him alone, you go do your job. He said, so I went back to do my job, but then he just walked out. Manager just walked out and left this guy over here, and he didn't know what he was doing. So what did you do? So I went over there to help. Oh, you went over there. But didn't the manager tell you not to go over there to stay? Yeah, but he didn't know what he was doing. He doesn't know how to manage the store. Did you tell him that? Yeah, I told him. You don't know how to manage the store. And so he fired me. He fired you. Yeah, because he's jealous of me because I know how to manage the store better than he does. So I'd try to help him and say things like, well, you know, Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who have rule over you and be submissive. And he'd say things like that. Yeah, I know, but this guy didn't know what he was doing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? See, you can give somebody the word, but that doesn't mean they're going to receive it. God tries to tell you. He tries to help you. God tries to show you what the problem is. But if you're too prideful and you've always got an excuse, then you can't receive. You're not receiving with meekness the implanted word, so it won't change your soul. It won't make the adjustment, so you won't be transformed. You won't be saved from that losing jobs or whatever it is that you're running into in life. You've got to have the humility and the hunger to say, I want to know what God says. I'm tired of knowing what I know. I already know what I know. I need to know what God knows. What does the Word say? That's what I want to know. What does God's Word say? I talk to people all the time, and they're going through something. And I'll say, hey, you know, listen, the Word of God says, and I'll quote them something. And they'll say, oh, yeah. But here's the way I am. Here's the type of person that I am. Well, what does that have to do with it, the type of person that I am? You ever hear people say that? Well, here's the type of person I am. Well, what does that have to do with it? Don't worry about the type of person that you are. Let's talk about the type of person that you ought to be. Is that right? Because if you continue to be the type of person that you are, you'll continue to be the type of person that you are. And that's the problem we're talking about. Isn't that right? See, the Word of God comes in to try to say, but here's what you ought to know. Here's what you ought to do. Here's the wisdom that you need to implement. But if we'll stop telling people, well, you know, this is the way I am, but this is what I do. Here, this is what I always do. And, well, let's not talk about what you always do, because what you always do got you here. And here is what you're complaining about. See, receive with meekness the implanted word. Why? Because these words of wisdom and insight are at a higher level than any other. Let me give you an example of that. You can go to a seminar, you can read a self-help book, and there are a lot of good materials out there on the market. Thousands, millions of books on how to help yourself in various areas and capacities. But let me tell you what they're all limited by. They're limited to the human realm. Because these words are at a whole different dimension. See, Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What does that mean? That means when God's words come in, they don't only give you the wisdom, you know, to eat right and exercise and that. That's all in here too. But when God's words come in here into your heart, they not only show you the wisdom, but they also, because God's words have eyes and they discern your heart, they show you where your heart's out of line with God. Where your motives are not even right. You're trying to get something, but for the wrong reason. You're trying to get your body in shape, but you're doing it in shape so people looking at your booty. Standing in the mirror, going like this. doing all that stuff. And here you're doing all this, not realizing you got this self-help book, but your heart is out of alignment with God. See, when the Word comes in and the Word helps you with your body to get your body in health and in shape and such, to where you feel good about it, not only do you feel good and you have more energy and all of that, but your heart is right before the Lord, and now you're glorifying God with your body, because these words went beyond just the mental realm of changing your physical appearance into pleasing God in that area of your life. Therefore, when you get into that alignment of pleasing God, the power of God comes behind you and helps you in that area where nobody else gets that help. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, these are different words. It may seem like the same principle. Oh, that's from the Word. Well, it is, except for, because it's not the Word of God, it doesn't discern the heart and expose and fillet those wrong ulterior motives that you have and help you to get those out to be pleasing to the Lord, thereby making yourself a recipient of the power of God. In other words, you're on your own, Mac. See? Thank God for the Word. Amen? See? This is powerful. See, so it'll change your soul. Let's talk about the body for a minute. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." Notice he says, son, these words are so powerful. If you can get them in your ears, keep them in your ears and eyes and get them into your heart, these words will cause in your heart a faith that can receive the power of healing, and it'll drive out and eradicate sickness and disease in your body. Now that's powerful. Somebody says, well, this is all positive thinking, isn't it? Positive confession. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Yes, God's Word is positive, but sometimes God's Word is negative when it exposes something in you that needs to be corrected. Is that right? See, positive thinking is just turn everything to a positive light. That's not what you need. You need to solve problems down to the core. God's Word solves it all the way down, and when it has to be a correction and an instruction, then it'll be that. God's Word solves it. I mean, completely, holistically, down to the very core, it's solved. That's the power of the Word of God, see? And it'll bring healing to your body. Now, let me give you an example of that. In Acts chapter 14, starting at the 8th verse, Paul comes to a city named Lystra, and he's preaching the word to some people there. And I'll pick it up in verse 8 of Acts 14. "And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb." Think about that. A cripple from his mother's womb. How would it feel to have never walked in your life? You watch everybody else walk, but you can't walk. You've never had the strength in your legs to walk. You've been crippled. How would that feel? This is not an injury. This is not an aging issue. From birth, this person has never been able to walk. And he's sitting there. Now let me tell you, think about the obstacle that he has to overcome in his mind, that there was ever the possibility that he could walk. Because all of his history says, well, that's not for me. See, I was born this way. It's not my fault, right? It happened to me. So, other people walk, other people get things from God, but, you know, this is just something that I got to deal with. Think about the roadblock in his mind to overcome. And here Paul is coming and preaching to him. And the Bible says here in verse 9, "This man heard Paul speaking." Now, what did he hear? Paul was preaching the word. "He heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand up straight on your feet.'" And look what happened. "And he leaped and walked." This guy who had never walked a day in his life, Paul is just taking the Word of God, the Gospel, and preaching that Jesus heals, Jesus forgives, Jesus saves, preaching those things. And while he's preaching, these words go into this man's ears and into his heart, And all of a sudden, though he'd never walked in his whole life, the power of these words that he heard caused him to believe that even he could walk. And Paul looked at him and saw in his eyes, he believes what I'm saying. And look at the faith of Paul. Paul knows these words will work. There's no doubt about it. See, Paul knows these words will work. And Paul says, stand up on your feet. And this guy, because of the power of these words in his ears and heart, caused him to try to start getting up without even thinking about it. See, it overcame all of the obstacle of his mind. And he began to get up. And the power, listen, the power of God, because of these words, the power of God that was on these words when God originally released them, hit his legs and caused muscles that had been gone through atrophy. I mean, they were just small and couldn't, I mean, you know how they get when you don't use them? Just small and very weak. All of a sudden, boom, man, I mean, they just got bigger and stronger. That man jumped up on his feet strong. And he not only walked, but he leaped. How many of you know it takes more strength to leap? Where did that come from? It came from the power in those words that Paul was speaking. So you need to listen to me. There is no area of your life that cannot be overcome by the power in the words of God. Jesus said it's like a mustard seed. And it seems so small. Oh yeah, well, you know, it's the Bible. It's a sermon. Yeah, you know, we're reading the Bible. He said it seems so small and insignificant compared to the problem that you're going through. He says, but when you sow these words, they grow up and they become greater than all of that stuff around. It causes you to overcome in areas that you couldn't overcome. Because see, when you receive it, the power of God comes behind you and launches you. It's like a slingshot. You know, it pulls back. And that rock doesn't have the ability in and of itself to launch like that. But the power of God, because of these words of God, will launch you farther than you can launch yourself. See, this is not just self-help. This is not just human wisdom. Not just things that men have learned by experience of what works and what doesn't. These are the words that God spoke. And God fully intends to put His power behind anybody that will believe these words. That's powerful. That's powerful. Thank God. I remember Dr. Cho, the pastor of the largest church in the world, 750,000 members, said many years ago, a lady came to him for prayer. She had a big growth on her neck. And he said, no, I'm not going to pray for you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Prayer Mountain, a place designated for 24-hour day prayer. He said, I want you to take 1 Peter 2:24, and I want you to write it and say it. I believe he said 10,000 times. He said, every time you write it, say it. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And she began to write that and say it and write that and say it. If I remember the story right, she didn't make it to 10,000 and she realized that growth is gone. It disintegrated. It disappeared. Somewhere in her, the man didn't even pray for her. Somewhere in her writing the word of that one scripture and saying it with her mouth, those words had such power in them that it caused her body to be healed. Are you listening to what I'm saying? See, same thing will happen in finances. Same thing will happen in finances. The Bible says in Luke 4, Jesus stood up and read Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now listen, He anointed me to, number one, preach the gospel to the poor. Second, to heal the brokenhearted. Well, what's the answer to a broken heart? Healing. He said to set at liberty or to proclaim liberty to the captives. Well, what's the answer to captivity? Liberation. He said, and to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. Well, what's the answer to blindness? Recovery of sight. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Somebody's oppressed, you set them in liberty. See, that's the answer. Well, why is it that all these guys get the answer, but the first one says that the poor people only get a sermon? Is that right? He preaches the gospel to them, but everybody else gets their answer. Here's why. Here's why. Because money doesn't solve poverty. You give somebody money, it won't be long, they're in the same place. Money is not the answer to poverty. Don't ever think welfare is the answer. No, it's just a temporary fix. You don't get the problem solved until something happens inside the person that makes an adjustment of how they function. I don't care what background they are. God will help anybody in any area, any level of economic status. But you got to catch this. You got to catch this. It's so powerful. Jesus knew that they didn't just need money. Now, it wasn't that they didn't give money at some time. They did. They did. They did that. I think that's fairly clear in Scripture that the ministry of Jesus would give to the poor. But that wasn't the most helpful thing that He did. The most helpful thing was when He came and He preached the good news. See, gospel means good news. How many of you know good news to a poor person isn't, hey, listen, you know what? You receive Jesus and He'll be the Lord of your life. And one day in the sweet by and by, you're going to be in heaven and walk on streets of gold, go through pearly gates, have a mansion, and be like everybody else. But right now, you're going to have to suck it up. That'd be like, you know, getting a flat tire on the side of the road and there's nobody out there and you're miles away, your cell phone's dead, and somebody comes by and says, hey, I see you got a flat tire. Yeah? Well, listen, I'm headed to my house. I just live 3 days away. When I get there, I'll call somebody. Well, that's not good news. I'll tell them, don't bother. I won't be here in 3 days. I guarantee you. I'll walk somewhere. I'm not staying here 3 days. No, good news is I just called somebody. A tow truck will be here in less than an hour. That's good news. When Jesus preached good news, He was telling them, you've got a God in heaven that loves you. He will help you right now if you'll look to Him. He'll begin to change the way that you think. And you'll begin to walk in the ways of God and you'll see the provision and the blessing of God in your life. See, that's good news. You ever heard the saying, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day, teach him how to fish? See, that's what Jesus would do. Teach them how to come before their God, get into alignment with God and receive. These were Jews He was talking to. And receive the covenant blessing that was already declared about them. That they'll lend to many and not have to borrow. They'll be the head, not the tail. Above only, not beneath. Everything they put their hand to prospers. That's what God already promised them. But it wasn't happening for those people. So what did He do? He preached those words to them so that it could get inside of them and change the whole way that they were thinking and living to begin to receive the blessing of God. Are you catching this? Let me tell you, if you want to change an area of your life, start with the Word. Start with the Word. I had somebody recently tell me, hey, I want to thank you for boot camp because 5 years I was in bondage and the Lord freed me. Hallelujah. That's a good testimony, isn't it? Well, why is that? It's not because of a program. It's because of the Word. The power of the Word. That's what changes us. And I looked right back at him and I said, that's exactly what the Word did for me. Thank God. See? The right seed. The right seed. That's why we read our Bibles every day. That's why we have discipleship and such. And I'm going to ask you, begin to plant the right seed. Find the area that the Lord wants you to focus on and begin to declare God's Word and plant it in your heart in abundance. Let me tell you, it can't not change. It can't not change. Did you hear what I said? It cannot not change. There is nothing that can stand against the power of the Word. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today by Jerry Dearman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. To join Operation Solid Lives, Pastor Jerry's free discipleship program, get free teaching downloads and blog and Twitter updates, find a campus of The Rock near you, or to join the 2 Spy Club and help get this uncompromised teaching to the world, visit us at jerrydearman.com or write to Jerry Dearman Ministries, P.O. Box 4970, Anaheim, California, 92830.